Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Andrew and Kate, welcome to the pod show.
Thanks for having us.
Cheers.
Cheers.
It's a cheers moment. Topo Chico did not sponsor this pod show, but you know, maybe one day they will.
Yeah.
Maybe they'll see how awesome it is and they'll do it. Mm-hmm. Now, when you're toasting, this is a little known fact, you're supposed to make eye contact.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Look in the eyes. 7 years of, you know.
And Topo Chico is the perfect age.
Yes.
I'm so excited to have y'all on the show.
Yeah.
And, partly because we're going to talk about it in a minute, your travel and what you guys do on your personal vlog and on YouTube, but also because I feel like y'all are more interesting now than I didn't know. There's things about you I didn't know, and like for the fact that y'all met in Australia, but you're both from America, mm-hmm. and that's also very interesting.
Yeah.
And for those who don't know, Andrew Grekov is on the team here at XO. He's a mighty man in the media department. Mm-hmm. He does quite a bit. Most of the people here at XO wear multiple hats. I think you have a plethora of hats that you wear as well.
Yeah.
And so you're a strong member of the team, do a lot here, and you're kind of quiet. So you won an mm-hmm. award. We had a Christmas party, and you won an award as being the nicest guy at XO. And so it was very unassuming to think that you have this life outside of work that's jet setting and going around and having this wonderful adventure with your wife.
Mm-hmm.
And your wife, Caitlin, works for Visit Dallas, which I shout out. that's a shout out bell for those of who are wondering. Visit Dallas, which is an amazing role as well there to kind of help orchestrate people's experience when they're coming into the city. And I want to know more about that. But welcome to the show. I want to dive into all of that. But first and foremost, kind of talk to me about your life now. Like where do you live? What's your daily life look like? Like, what's going on in your world?
Yeah, so we live pretty close to Dallas-Fort Worth Airport in Las Colinas area. So just in between Fort Worth and Dallas, kind of pretty close to here, probably 15 minutes. So, it's super nice to have that airport so close. I think that's one thing that we really wanted to do, like, in our life, was to live close to an international airport just so that we could, like we do on our YouTube channel, we jet set on weekends, either to, we've been to Seattle, we've been to a bunch of different places over the weekends. So we try to take specific time to travel short periods of time because we live so close to the international airport, and that's mm-hmm. been super nice.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yep. And I'm from Louisiana originally, and so this was just about 4 hours down the road. We moved to Texas about 3 years ago. So I've always loved the Dallas area coming here, and of course it's my favorite airport, so it doesn't hurt that we get to go there and then to easily fly to visit his family in Iowa, and then we can just go to New York for the weekend or New Orleans for the weekend. Doesn't really matter. We just have everything we want here during the week and explore the world as we go.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Again, I mean, I've seen you all around. You're very much behind the scenes, but mm-hmm. when I saw your YouTube content, y'all were in front of the camera. You are bringing your trips to life. It was a new experience, so it's exciting for me to get to know you. I feel like I'm getting to know you more, even on this show, mm-hmm. just kind of exploring it. So Visit Dallas. I want to just ask you a couple questions on that. Yeah. So on your daily job there, what is your role? How are you, you know, utilized at Visit Dallas, and is the city doing well? Are you finding that people are coming in and that it's
sure.
it's a good time for Dallas, or is it just a madhouse because everyone's
always
moving
a great
in from
time to Dallas? No, but I'm the digital marketing manager there, so I manage all of the website and content creation calendars for the city. So we exist to promote hotels, stays for visitors. So we're there to give information to tourists and conventions and visitor centers, stuff like that. So my job gets to do the fun leisure side. So if you've got family coming in for the weekend, I can tell you everything there is to do and what you should be looking forward to in the future. Like State Fair of Texas is a huge thing. But overall, travel is coming back like so big. We actually have now passed 2019 numbers for this year.
That's awesome.
So we're not just like, oh, crawling back from COVID. We are above what we were doing before, just with there's so many hotels popping up. There's so much to do. So many new restaurants and businesses are really bouncing back. Yeah, it's awesome.
I can see that when I'm around town to some degree. Is there truly a rivalry between Dallas and Fort Worth that you see with Visit Dallas?
I mean, yeah, absolutely.
It feels
that way. Dallas is just better. No.
Yeah, exactly.
That's we play along well, but there's definitely the Dallas-Houston.
So is there a version of you over in the Fort Worth, Dallas, or the Fort Worth Visitation Center?
Oh, yeah. Killing it. Running their website. They're doing a great job. We do a lot of collaborations for international marketing, so we kind of come together for that.
Which is funny. So the makeup of the Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex is really interesting because it is huge just in terms of land mass.
Oh, yeah.
And you've got, just different suburbs and different parts. I mean, if you go to Arlington, Arlington's a big city.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So you have all these cities trying to, you know, play with one another. And they do. Mm-hmm. Everyone does a good job. But there is, if you go to Fort Worth and you talk about Dallas, it's like, those guys are so snobby. You go to Dallas, it's like, those guys are so country.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's a funny playoff. But if you're living here, like I live in Southlake, in the middle of them, I like both.
Absolutely.
I go to Dallas for date nights all the time because they have fun restaurants and all these sorts of things. But you go to Fort Worth for also really cool things.
And you don't have to fight for parking over there.
It's getting worse, terms of being busy as well. So that's great. I'm glad to get to know you more because I really have spent more time with Andrew. Mm-hmm. I've never really sat down and had a conversation with what you do over there firsthand. So that's great. So how did you meet? I want to know the story of how you met.
Well, I'm from Iowa. She's from Louisiana. We both got called to go to Hillsong College in Sydney, Australia. And there's two campuses there, and we both chose the city campus. So that's kind of where we
didn't know each other before we came.
We didn't know each other. Yeah.
So technically met on Facebook through a Facebook group of incoming students.
So we kind of chatted before. Yeah. I mean,
this guy was trying to impress me with his love of Toms. He was like, I was the first one in my college to like wear Toms.
I went to a Toms phase.
Yeah. That's good. Good old 2011.
Yeah. So we just met each other. We kind of were around the same friend group and we just kind of came closer together over that course of time.
Yeah, we're also studying the same thing. We're both in Hillsong College studying pastoral leadership for youth ministry. So we were both serving in like the young adults, like seventh graders pretty much together. Mm-hmm. So we had same stuff going on, same friends going on, same interests. Yeah. And we just kept hanging out all the time. One thing led to another. And about 6 months later, this guy asked me out.
Oh, wow.
Yes. They had a 1-year no dating policy.
Yep.
And
which they changed.
Oh, this is sad. And then they changed it to 6 months. And yeah, I mean,
there was
you
cheering.
Can judge us because we were that Christian couple that goes to Christian college and finds their wife.
People did joke it's Hillsong Bridal College.
Yes.
That's fine. So I mean, there's Christian mingle too. I mean, there's other places to meet Christians.
Absolutely, yeah.
It is funny when you travel all the way around the world to meet your spouse.
Yes.
That's constantly part of the story of like, oh, I met my husband in Australia. He's Iowan, but
you're more likely to get a Southern accent or something like that in Sydney, Australia at that Bible college because there was more Americans than Australians, I would say, overall. Like I had Uruguayans that lived with me in there, but it like most of the college students were Americans.
So what was the draw there? What was the draw to Hillsong College?
You probably have a greater story than I do. I went to a Hillsong United concert and I loved the worship. I loved, they just passed out cards right before or right at the end of their concert. And I took one. I was right at the time of my life where I had just finished 2-year school and was like, should I go to my 4 years, like 4-year education, or should I do something different in the gap there? So I was interested and that's what kind of drew me. But she had like 6-8 years of prayer and planning.
So I'm 2 years younger, but so I was in high school when I was looking for what I was wanting to do, where I was wanting to go to college, and I knew I wanted to do something before starting the typical university. And I'm a musician. I've always played piano and sang, and so I was playing with my church band, and Mia Fields was one of Hillsong United's writers from the church in Sydney, and she was like a guest musician with us for the 1 week. And so I got to talking to her and she was like, you should really look into Hillsong College. Like you're really, you know, talented and you're really into, you know, learning and growing your faith. So look into this maybe before you take your next step. And looked into it and immediately like felt that tug of like, this is what I'm supposed to do.
It's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's good. You don't have a Cajun accent at all. I don't know what part of Louisiana you're from. Southern,
so I'm from North Cajun. Louisiana. Okay. I typically say thank you when people don't say you don't sound like you're from Louisiana.
Well, I've got friends that from Monroe, Louisiana, in that area.
Hey, yeah, that's where I'm from.
And then further south, and the further south you go, I can't understand them.
Oh, yeah. No. I had went to my first year of four-year university in Lafayette, where my roommate was so Southern and Cajun that she'd start talking on the phone to her grandparent. You just full French. Yeah, I don't know what you're saying.
That was so funny.
Yeah.
But your accent, I would never have picked Louisiana. Mm-hmm. Iowa, I don't know what the accent is from Iowa.
I didn't think I had one.
Yeah.
But
he
she always said I had one. But once I came to Texas and Louisiana, I realized how thick of an
There's
accent
lots of
it actually
O's.
Is.
Don't you know?
It's almost Canadian or Wisconsin.
Is it?
Yeah.
So it's
lots of
it's
oh yeah,
like dad,
you betcha.
Dad, and yeah, yeah. and things like that. Like it's this accentuated yeah.
We're on the podcast.
Yeah, so it's just a different way of speaking, and I didn't know I had one, but I realized at some point that I did.
Yeah,
and it's kind of worn off, I think, a little bit more, but I still say yeah.
Yeah,
and look it.
Well, so Hillsong, I've known people that have gone to Hillsong, but I just watched, we talked about this before the show started, just watched a documentary on Hillsong. It was interesting. Whenever I come across a documentary that's a little bit more of a hit piece, you know, just trying to tell a story from one angle, I'm very careful. So I thought a lot of the production was centered around finding people who were disenfranchised, that were angry, that were bitter, and putting a microphone in front of their face and saying, "Hey, just spit all that out on TV." Mm-hmm. The stuff about Carl Lentz was not good. Yeah. I thought that was very much a telling thing about his character, what he was doing, because they had the woman that he had an affair with on camera telling the story, and it's just not good for a leader like that to have that kind of thing showcased. And then they talked a lot about the college. Right. One of the episodes was about the college. They interviewed a lot of people there on campus. And again, most of the people were just the people that they wanted to interview because they had a story to tell about how they'd been wronged by the college. So I felt like they really just put this thing on Netflix. Where did I watch that? Discovery Plus is where I watched it.
Yep.
They just put it up there because it's going to be, you know, people have an appetite for drama and for all this sort of toxicity in church world and unveiling that. So I felt like it was gross at the end of the day. I did not like it. I thought Brian Houston, the stuff about his dad and Carl Lentz was probably the meatiest part.
Mm-hmm.
But y'all were there.
Yeah.
I didn't attend, so I'm watching it just through the screen. Tell me about your experience there. What about Hillsong made it good, and did you see anything that they talked about in the documentary? I know y'all just watched the trailer for it, but did y'all see any of that there?
I would say mostly it was a really great experience, truly. You get so much foundational teaching and background to why you believe what you believe, and gives you the tools to either go forward in full-time ministry or just as a Christian out in the workplace, leading others to God through the gospel, through the way you're living and through the way you're speaking. So it really gives you background on that. I think there were some classes and some teachings that was like, maybe that shouldn't be a grade. Mm-hmm. Like maybe we should just evangelize or whatever. Sure. But overall, like there was no like, ooh, red flag, this is weird. Like there, it truly to me felt like Andrew had some moments where he felt like he was being parented because he was an older student.
Yeah.
So as like a 21-year-old, I was coming in 18. I'm fresh out of high school. Mm-hmm. What do I know? Sure, you're telling me to sign all these papers and do all this stuff, which were totally ethical papers. I stand by it. But, you know, you have some coaches type people of like coaching you along, making sure you're doing okay, like overall. So that felt fine to me. But to other older students, it felt a little overbearing, which I can understand.
Yeah. Yeah, that was pretty much the only thing that I would say I wouldn't, when we were kind of talking about like if we'd ever want to go back or something like back before, like if you like ever 5-6 years ago, we were talking about it. But it's like I felt like being parented a little bit just because there's so many strict, you know, there was no drinking, no, dating, no, like certain things like that. It just felt, and there was sometimes when it just felt like not doing certain things would cause some kind of repercussions. But it wasn't yeah. anything extreme.
Like, more like if you didn't show up to an extra worship night right. in the Hills campus, which was like a 40-minute bus ride away, then it would sometimes be questioned of, well, why not? Like, you should right. care more. But it's like, we got to work. Yeah. got to yeah. pay for this Sydney Other apartment somehow.
but because I had a part-time job. So if I didn't show up, they'd go down to each one. Did you go to this? Did you go to this? And it's like, oh, they're going to come to me, and then I'm going to get chewed out. Yeah. so, but overall, like, the biblical education was wonderful. The leadership training was fantastic. I think part of the issue that some of these students have is that they were training leaders before they really knew how to be leaders, and they trusted like student leaders to lead younger, not trained leaders.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I think that causes some issue because they don't know how to lead very well. Yeah. So they feel like either they're really like bad leaders that are trying to lead them, and they feel like overpowered and by the leadership. But the pastors and at least at the church that we were at, was fantastic.
The pastors, the teaching, there's still some of my favorite teachers. Mm-hmm. Robert Ferguson, if you ever look up any fantastic. Of his stuff, one of the best teachers of all time. I think he's wonderful, and he teaches preaching classes and everything. But I think there's some students that are also new baby Christians and weren't ready for the amount of immersion that it, you know, if people are like, oh, it felt like a cult. It's like, well, I grew up in church. Yeah. Like, it's just, I loved being here. I loved being part of the community. And if you're not used to that level of community and that amount of people caring about you and guiding you and teaching you, then it might feel overwhelming.
Yeah.
Yeah. The narrative was a lot about how Brian Houston wanted to build an empire and that he had this slick way of getting people to buy the music, buy merch, sign up for the college. Mm-hmm. And it was all a marketing, put people in a funnel and get them there and just sell them more. Mm-hmm. And just that's kind of the way they portrayed him, was that he came, he was doing the church there, and then he visited America and saw how everyone here was doing it, and he took that back. And like Darlene Sheck, they made her seem like she was just some actress that they hired to kind of come in and, you know, be a singer and a stage performer. I just thought that was really gross, because that's not some of my most powerful worship experiences have been at the hands of the worship leaders at Hillsong. I mean, their music changed my life. It changed the way I worship.
Yeah.
And to discredit that somehow, I just felt like that was really not good. Yeah. Like I said, if I was telling somebody, just writing a review on it, I would say overall it was just a disgusting hit piece trying to put a stain on something that didn't need a stain on every part of it.
Yeah.
Right.
They need to deal with the leadership issues there. Yes. There are some massive leadership issues. And there's a history there with Brian's dad. That's that's just not good.
Yeah.
And that's unfortunate. But for Discovery Plus to take an opportunity just to get more clicks and likes or more eyeballs on the screen, I never liked that.
Yeah. And that's nothing new.
And Brian,
that's the thing that really gets me, is that whole scandal. And obviously his father was a pedophile, and he says that. He's said that for years.
He said it on stage, and he'll denounce it in the same sentence. Yeah, he's not hiding it.
Preached from the stage, said that his father was a pedophile. Like, he knew that all the things that his father had done, and he was very clear about it overall. And it's just like, they just have another opportunity to try to bring that up. Like,
with
obviously,
the likes of another affair, it's perfect time to bring it like it's new info.
Yeah, it's like the leadership does hurt. I think the bigger you get, I think that's kind of the situation that is like, once they started coming over here and they started having churches outside of what they could actually control and maintain and just be able to have oversight on their pastors, they kind of lost control. They lost kind of they were just giving money and just saying, here you go. Like,
well, in the documentary, they make it seem like Brian Houston set up Carl Lentz because Carl Lentz was getting too big and overshadowing Brian Houston.
Yeah.
And so he wanted him to fail. He wanted him to have a moral failure. Mm.
It's a very not churched approach to looking at that. Well, right.
But again, the only people that only evidence they have are people that are disgruntled or, you know, somebody that had a bad experience going, you know, I could, because of Brian's personality and because of things that he said, I really believed that, you know, he had it out for Carl because Carl was getting way too big. And they would show, you know, all these scenes of Carl speaking in front of all these audiences. Carl Lentz was a good looking guy with a great personality and an amazing speaking style.
Yeah.
So obviously God can use that, but also Satan can use that as well. So
right.
I was floored when we watched the documentary. And so whenever I heard y'all both went to college, I was like, that's interesting. That's an interesting experience to have sort of firsthand knowledge on what all happened there, but also what it was like, if any of that's valid or not.
Yeah. And it just kind of makes me sad in general, just that these two or these leaders have hurt. I mean, just because of all this has happened and that their moral failings, it doesn't discount all of the good work that Hillsong has done over the years and all the lives that they've changed. And that just kind of makes me sad because there's so many great pastors and so many great leaders that are still pastoring today. The pastor that's coming in to kind of be the global senior pastor is fantastic. Phil Dooley from South Africa. Mm-hmm. He's a fantastic pastor. So I'm sure they'll be just fine.
Yeah, they have a global brand.
Yeah.
And I thought that they may not make it out of this because it's one of those things where not just Brian Carl, but there's another pastor here in Dallas that had to step down, and there's more news about that. Mm-hmm. So to trust your family under that leadership's hard whenever there's not that much drama out there. But shout out to Maggie. She went to the Hillsong United concert last night here in Dallas, and she said it was full. So the appetite for their music, I think, will stay the same as long as they continue to put out good stuff.
Yeah.
But the name Hillsong in Houston associated with that, I don't know. It's got a little bit of a tarnish on it right now. I hope that they can pull out of that. But those are really weighty kinds of accusations.
Yes.
That's hard to get people to forget about. You have to do something great in order to get people to forget about. It's like Tiger Woods. He's playing the Masters this weekend.
Sure.
There was a time when the Tiger was a mess, and you didn't think he was ever going to play again. He didn't play for a long time, but now he's playing the Masters again. And if you start getting back on track and you start doing things in the church aspect of it, you know, getting back to a place where you're committed to the right things over a long period of time, there's a chance for restoration. But the world will always use that against you. There'll always be headlines. Former church pastor, former disgraced pastor, whatever they want to put on there.
Right.
That's always the lens that they see it through. So that's what's so hard about it, is you're giving ammo to the enemy just to use against you. Great. Yeah. Great talk about Hillsong. Okay. I want to talk shop.
Yeah.
I want to talk shop about, because Andrew is a genius in the world of YouTube and video world, and y'all have a business doing wedding photography and wedding videos. I don't know your aspect of that world. I feel like you're a genius as well.
So I actually taught this guy how to video edit.
I feel like you're also a genius. So I want to hear.
I don't know about that.
The technical background of what you're doing. I mean, I know at XO what you do, but behind the scenes, I mean, what is your company like? How do you build it? How do y'all run it together?
Yeah. So Andrew learned. Well, I learned how to video edit in about high school and then kept going from there as a necessity with my job. I needed to edit some videos, some social. I did a lot of social media for work for a long time, a lot of web copy, web editing, all the website management stuff. And so Andrew learned how to edit videos years ago and quickly excelled at it and way past me. He knows, I mean, how to do anything and everything you could possibly
He's
want.
A
He's a very gifted editor. So I just let him do anything video-wise, truly. So he is the king at that. I might like quickly cull through and like go through some footage. Mm-hmm. I handle all of social media content creation, come up with a lot of ideas of like what to do, talk about, see. I'm a planner through and through. Mm-hmm. I am wildly obsessed with trip planning. Just planning in general. You tell me you're planning to go to Starbucks, I can research the menu for you. I love research.
Sometimes it's not even trips that you are planning to go on.
Oh my gosh.
It's just, I wonder what it would be like to have a trip to whatever. And you
Uruguay,
start
sure. We're going to Uruguay now, and I can tell you exactly how to do it in about a week.
That's awesome.
So that's my contribution.
That's a huge skill.
That's super. We have a really nice back and forth with that kind of thing, because we have,
I do all the pre-work. He does all the post-work.
No clue what we're doing. We're going to Paris at this date. That's all I know. Generally, I mean, I know maybe the major milestones, but she has planned everything. She's got the tickets. She knows that down to the precise time when we're getting into the, like, Uber or Lyft before, like, when we get to the airport. So she's very detailed. She has a very detailed itinerary. And I take the time most weekends to edit the videos together. Just kind of, we enjoy watching travel vloggers. Mm-hmm. And so we've tried to replicate kind of a style of that. And it's been fun. It's a learning curve. We didn't really make the channel public to friends and family for 2 or 3 months.
Wanted to warm it up a little bit first. Mm-hmm.
Yes. Yeah. We wanted to get comfortable enough to, I mean, it's hard to like film yourself in the middle of a crowd.
We didn't realize how awkward that would be. And I think it's even more awkward in America to film. Yeah. Like if we're going down New Orleans, cause like we're clearly speaking English as is everyone else. But if we're in the middle of France and not everyone is speaking English, I don't really care what I'm saying.
Yeah, that is a weird vibe. So how did you overcome that? I mean, that would be awkward to have people around you just staring at you like this while you're talking about something.
It's lots of practice, honestly. Yeah. Like before we started doing it on the road or on the plane, we would awkwardly sit down in our living room and just talk to each other with the camera on. Mm-hmm. Like, okay, well, so we got this thing going on. And then a lot of times I'll like make notes or take notes of like, say if we're going to see the Champs-Élysées, like what there is to know about that and whatever. So we'll have a little bit of context so I don't just like stare at it and blabber like an idiot, but have a little bit of context of what we're looking at. So we can also share like tips or advice or things to know.
Yeah. So the vlog, the travel vlog, it's Andrew and Kate. Is that the the channel title?
Yep.
So what was your first video? What was your, and then you might have had a first video, but what was your really like your first one that you put out there? Like, we're proud of this. This is what I want to do.
Our first hit was in Finland.
Yes.
Our first video was in Vegas. That was our very first try. Let's just
like that
call
one?
That one a try.
Bad. Why?
That was our first vlog experience. Our travel vlog experience. We tried our best.
Yeah, we tried our best. We didn't come up with a good story.
Yeah.
We flew to Vegas and we knew we were just going to try. We're just going to do this thing and we're going to try. And we didn't end up making any video for it because it was total randomness and just didn't
you've
work.
Got so much to work with though in Vegas.
I know, right? So it's like we just got a bunch of b-roll footage and didn't get any.
Will casinos let you film inside?
Oh yeah,
we did it anyway.
Do whatever you want.
I could have y'all should have talked shop with me. I would have told y'all 8 different things y'all probably could have done.
Sure.
That would have been fun.
So
Vegas was not a good one.
No.
Yeah.
But Finland was the first one.
Finland was the first hit for sure. We went to, flew into Helsinki from Dallas and then went up to Rovaniemi, which is like very northern Finland where you can see like northern lights. It's technically Santa Claus's hometown. Mm-hmm. So cute stuff up there.
Shout out to Santa Claus.
Jeez. We met him. We know him.
Slow on the bell.
Best Santa Claus.
Crying out loud.
So that one, I mean, it's just a really interesting subject, but I think you could also see with us, we had practiced a little bit more. We'd gone to like Oklahoma City and some other smaller places to like get used to vlogging more often. So we had taken a few like 24-hour trips to practice pretty much. So by the time we were there, we're quite a bit more comfortable. And then we were just so excited to be there. And I think that translated on camera as well as like, I had a moment where I was literally like staring at Santa Claus Village and I started tearing up and I'm like, what is this? But like, I just looked at it for so long on Pinterest and things because I'm such a travel planner by nature.
Yeah. So when you study other vloggers, because I've seen, I know some of them in real life, you know, the vloggers, and then you see them on camera, they do have to act to some degree.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There has to be like the storyline.
Yes.
There's got to be, nobody wants to watch. There's always these Instagram stories where they're like, real life versus vlogging life. And it's something like, I made the bed this morning. And then the vlogging life.
Oh,
like, y'all, I just got to tell you that this morning I woke up and I just had this energy to make my bed, but I did it so special. And they have to have like this amazing story about how they made their bed.
Yes.
And those are always funny to me. You have to do it. You have to play the YouTube game.
Absolutely.
Because everyone that plays it well, we talked about this, but Mr. Beast was on the Joe Rogan podcast and he talked about how he was just obsessive about why YouTube videos made it big, why they made it viral or whatever. And so he would just obsess over the why of it. And then he started playing that game where everything from the thumbnail to the titling to everything, it makes a difference.
Oh, yep.
And it totally makes a difference in the energy level. And he was saying this is also brought to you by Essential Water.
Yes.
The caps will roll off the table. But, he was saying that for a while, he wants to make the show random. Did y'all watch this episode of Joe Rogan Podcast?
No.
I don't think so.
Do y'all know who Mr. Beast is?
Yeah. Mm.
Okay. Yeah.
Please. My kids know he is. That's how I know.
Oh, yeah.
So he said that because the videos, he wanted to have real people in these scenarios where it's like everyone's touching a Lamborghini, the last one their hand off wins it.
Yep. Sure.
But he would find in certain of those contests that when the winner won, they were so boring. They would just be like, cool, thanks.
Yep.
So he wanted they did more casting. Mm-hmm. There was more effort involved into making sure the right people in the room, still random, but produced.
Yeah.
So the same thing for y'all's vlog. I would imagine that there's some element of going to Andrew going, dude, do you need an espresso? Let's get some more energy, buddy.
We literally had that conversation in Paris Plus.
Yes.
But he was at that. We were so jet lagged. We had just landed. We went back to the hotel for like a quick nap. And then we went out. We're like, we're going to film and go to the Notre Dame. And it's huge. Everyone knows Notre Dame. And this dude was trying his best. Mm. But we were so tired. Bad. And he was like, and we've got the Notre Dame. And it had, zero energy because we had zero energy. And we're like, this just isn't even worth including.
I mean, you just like after that long of travel and then we just go out instantly and try to
hit the road,
like put on like, this I mean, you have faces. To present something. Yeah. You have to be somewhat excited about what you're looking at, and it's Notre Dame and it's in under construction. And I'm like, it's here. It's great. Whatever. It's like, but it's like
so we literally just walked across the street to get a crepe because that segment wasn't happening.
And we took a nap and then we went out to look at the Eiffel Tower after that, and it was much better.
We've got all of his sparkle sass about the Eiffel Tower from there, but there are so many moments where like either off camera you're like, wow, this is cool, and then oh, hold on, let me repeat that again. Lots of basically retakes of your own life.
Yeah.
Feels weird, but it looks better that way.
Well, you got to know that the end user appreciates all of that hard work you put in there. So I want to show a clip of the one from Paris. And
bonjour et bienvenue à Paris.
We are beautiful. Andrew. These are all original shots of y'all's.
Yeah. Yep. Vacation days to travel as much
no B-roll.
As possible.
No Paris, stock footage.
No stock footage.
Flighted from Dallas to the City of Lights for an extended weekend adventure.
And how do you feel about your voices? Do you love
After
your voices?
My voice is fine.
You both have great voices. For a
light brunch full sometimes of I get really
like, it's like this shot right there. That's great.
Dallas.
That's like I'm watching.
Yum.
That place is good.
Food and Wine Travel Edition.
Oh, thanks.
After we refueled, we couldn't wait to visit the incredible Musée Rodin, home to most of Rodin's greatest sculptures, such as The Thinker, which is the most well-known.
That's what I think is great about this, because y'all both know how to do the cinematography side of it. You know how to direct it, you know how to get the shots. So it comes across very well-produced, but not too much.
Andrew makes it much for her.
Dial it down enough so it doesn't feel like you're watching something that's too polished, but it's pleasing to the eye. When I was watching, I watched pretty much the whole thing. Wow. This is entertaining. I didn't realize I was going to be so entertained. So this one was about, I thought this one was the one that I watched that was about the travel lounges.
That was the one before.
That was, where were we going? France. Well, it was going to France. It was the Capital One Lounge in DFW.
Okay.
Yeah. That was our first travel to vlog. So that's actually harder to do because when we're in Paris, we were like, there's things to go do and there's things like to talk about. But when you're just experiencing the airport, you're experiencing the travel, it's harder to like, I mean, what do I talk about on an airplane or what do I talk about? Like, do people care about the travel part of it? And people do. It's one of our pretty good videos. I mean, it's doing pretty well. So
I think it's interesting. A lot of people don't have access to that world or it's all about how you present it. And y'all did a good job of going, oh, hey, this is a cool feature here, or hey, they have little yogurt parfaits over here. I don't remember what it was, but something like that.
Probably.
That's crazy.
You know. How to plan a vacation.
That was a tip video. We don't do as many tip videos anymore.
So Andrew and Kate, I want you guys to get more subscribers and more followers, but for the young people out there and for the older people, for somebody like me going to Paris for the weekend, seems crazy. Maybe I could do it. Maybe I can whisk Stephanie away.
Totally.
Yeah.
I think I've been in a little bit of a state of shock with travel since COVID, and I don't want to spend a little bunch of money just to feel like I'm not vaccinated. So how do I get to Paris? That's in my mind. You know, that's the feeling you get now with travel. Yeah. It's just not a fun experience. But y'all made it look fun. Y'all made me want to go to Paris.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's
the world's less scary than it sounds on the news, truly.
Yeah.
Just like if people are coming from Europe to here, you're met online with, oh, there's these travel restrictions, you have to have this test and whatever. And okay, you might have to test. That kind of stinks. Yeah. But you get here, are we masked currently? Mm-hmm. Are we doing whatever? Yeah. You know, everybody, it's kind of more up to the person at this point in a lot of places. There's like mm-hmm. initial restrictions, but then everybody's tired of this. Yeah. So yeah. If you're getting to a travel destination, like it's just going to be, people aren't as different as you think they are.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, even in Finland during, when was that?
November of 21.
Finland. Masks, like it was really pretty casual in mm-hmm. general. So, I mean, the testing overall, I wish we would have known some of the testing situations mm-hmm. because testing coming back to the U.S. and was initiated and the cost coming to get tests could be very expensive. Yeah. It was
testing's
almost as
now
much
part
the
of our travel
flight.
Budget because it's about $200 for a lot of destinations for us to get back to America.
We're excited for that to end.
Yeah.
They don't do that automatically at the airport or anything. You have to
pay for it. And we're even behind Canada on that. So
yeah.
Time to get on it.
Wow. Europe hasn't had that for a very long time.
No. So we're going to Spain next Wednesday night.
Yeah.
And you don't have to test to get into there, but you do have to test to get back into America.
Where are you going to Spain?
We are flying into Madrid and then going to Barcelona.
I loved mm-hmm. Barcelona.
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
We had the Exo Cruise.
Oh, that's awesome.
And we started in Barcelona and it was great. And the food was amazing. The sangrias are amazing. It's like when you go to Hawaii.
Yeah.
You have to get a Mai Tai in Hawaii because the pineapple juice, everything is just so fresh. It's amazing. Same thing. Y'all may not. Are you even old enough to drink? I'm sorry. But the food there was great. Just the whole vibe. And again, you think of Barcelona, you see the news. Sometimes you hear about, the crime rate or whatever there in Madrid.
Yep.
I just loved it. We would go back in a heartbeat.
Yeah.
Good to hear.
I'm glad you're going there. That's awesome.
Yeah, yeah, we're excited. That's the next big adventure.
Yeah.
Mostly before summer hits. Summer, it's just everyone's traveling, so prices go up like crazy. So we're very specific about not traveling by where we want to go, but by who has the best deals. Mm-hmm. So we didn't really have like Finland in mind, but it had the best deal.
We found $280 flights to Finland over Thanksgiving break.
Wow.
Yeah, I'm going to go.
Yeah, that's awesome.
So
we go based off of deal based instead of date and location. And so, you know, if you have dreams in mind of places you want to go, and that's the way to make it. Definitely more affordable and more doable for the weekend. It sounds insane to go to Paris for like 4 days, but truly for most cities, you only need about three. Mm-hmm. People take these really long vacations and kind of pretend they're relaxing, but travel, you have to make so many decisions all the time. You're just constantly either solving a problem or making a decision, which, you know, it's more fun than that. But I mean, in logistically, that's what you're doing. Mm-hmm. And so taking shorter trips, you don't exhaust yourself and get, I mean, it's exhausting, but you don't get too used to it or too overwhelmed with making decisions constantly. Where we're going to eat, you know, if you're doing a 10-day trip, that's 3 meals a day. You're making 30 meal decisions. Yeah. That's a lot. Mm-hmm. I was listening to a podcast just yesterday that was saying they were on a 9-day trip and we got so tired of eating out. And it's like, oh, that kind of takes the joy out of travel at that rate.
But doing it for the vlog and for the YouTube channel, does it take some of the joy out as well? Are you finding yourself missing the moment because you're worried about the shot?
It's an in-between, I think. Yeah. Like we do try. I have a hard time probably more than she does in general, just setting down. Like there's always an opportunity to get B-roll. There's always an opportunity to get an extra shot. But she like makes sure to like, hey, like enjoy this a little bit. Like we're here and it's really exciting.
We've
like,
got enough B-roll.
Yeah, we've got enough B-roll. We've got
let's
plenty.
Let's just be in the market.
Yeah. So let's just enjoy it. Yeah. But because it's kind of a balance because it's like something we want to do and but it's also something that we're like tasked to do. Mm-hmm. Like we're trying to build this channel and trying to grow it. So it's just part of traveling for us now.
And I think how we've quickly learned to make it more enjoyable is we'll only plan like 2 to 3 really technical things to do.
Yeah.
And then if we get to do any more, then that's just bonus points and we get to have more fun or take longer or whatever.
Is a good solution there. Because I would probably be more like Andrew and wanting to obsess over getting the right amount of footage and worrying that I'm gonna miss the moment.
Yeah.
Right.
And so overdoing it instead of just having some space to enjoy the city.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Paris, for crying out loud, it's a romantic city.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
Even though you're from Iowa, you can kiss under the Eiffel Tower.
Right. Come on. I mean, how exciting is that?
No, that's good. Y'all also do weddings though, right? Am I wrong on that? Don't y'all do?
We used to do wedding videos.
We used to do wedding videos.
Now if it's the right person,
so I was just gonna give a shout out there too. Yeah.
And I think that's probably how that's probably how and why we learned what's too much B-roll and what's not, because you're at a wedding for 12 hours at a time, and there's only so much dancing you can film.
You know, wedding videos are the most expensive thing.
Oh yeah. Oh.
And I would think that it's the most stressful thing for the videographers, because you do not want to mess up that.
Yeah, you don't get the bride walking down the aisle, you're dead.
Yeah. You're dead.
Ooh, you got the
that
mom.
Was always my job of mom like, coming. I'm going to get the bride's coming down and he's going to get the groom's reaction.
Yes.
Because you got to have both, because you want to see both in the video.
Right.
And
yeah.
Oof, the stress of if I drop this camera, or if a battery dies or anything happens, I don't know what I'm going to do.
She's up there and I'm making sure like, is that right? Red light on to make sure it's recording? And it's like, I'm double checking.
The stress of it all. It's not fun. When we got married, it was 1998. The videographer, I don't want to tell his name. He was a friend of my wife's parents. Great guy. But he kind of did it on the side. And this was way before technology was advanced. So our first video was on VHS, right?
Sure.
And we had to transition it over to a DVD at some point. But it was just awful. It was just every part of it was awful. Just the transitions and him trying to make it fun.
Yeah.
You know, some of the techniques you could do back then. So I'm jealous anytime I see any kind of wedding video from today. Everything looks amazing.
Yeah.
I mean,
the little mini movies.
Yes, it is. And just the drone footage. And you've got all these sweeping shots.
Yeah.
You got to have it.
Yep.
So it's just a different world. But I would still say that if you don't know what you're doing, you can ruin the moment very quickly for somebody's important day. So, that's good. I would rather be vlogging.
It's a little less stressful.
So Andrew's on the team here, and a lot of times he probably tells you this. I go in there and go, okay, my dad's going to do an end times video. This is the teaching. What do we title it? How do we make this thing seem like it's YouTube worthy?
Yep.
So that's why I call him a genius, because he knows a lot about the way to get the maximum impact for the videos that we do on the marriage side and on the end time side.
Yeah.
The end time side of what we do, my dad does, is kind of a curveball for the team sometimes, because they're cranking out conferences, they're doing stuff for EXO Now, they're doing stuff for the EXO Marriage YouTube channel. And then it's like the Antichrist is coming. And how do you pivot off of what
you're
doing?
Keep your marriage alive until then.
Exactly. Right. But pull out all the hearts and put in all the fire. And the heart of everything that we do here is to see that it has the maximum exposure so that more people can get ministry from it. But on YouTube specifically, you got to design it a certain way, just like y'all are doing. So that's kind of the fun part for me sometimes, is just figuring out how to change certain things so that more people see it.
And
that's the part I literally have to look away on, because he knows what works on YouTube and I cannot stand the way it looks. Doing like Instagram curation and everything's got to be like beautiful and like really aesthetic, and then he's coming up with these big almost Comic Sans type letters, and is this worth it or whatever nonsense. And
YouTube is its own
he'll make thing. His own thumbnails, and he'll be like, what do you think? And I'm like, just put it up. Just don't ask me.
You just have to. It's just like a grocery store. Like right when you're going to the register and you got all the candy, you've got tons of candy. It's like, what's going to cause you to grab one specific candy over another?
Sure.
And it's like, I mean, it's the title and it's that thumbnail. So both are super important. And I mean, you just obsess over it. And that's what these YouTubers do all the time, is obsess over these things.
Since you're in the media department,
Media.
That's my wake up alarm that just went off on B-Rock's phone. So shout out to B-Rock, because we're in a Masters hat. The Masters is on this weekend.
Yeah, we're having a watching party.
Yeah, a little putting contest tomorrow.
Yeah.
Nice.
Is Andrew a golfer?
No.
I've done it a few times, but
he can go with his brother. But
I just learned that he's sassy after dark.
Yep.
So I don't
after hours
I don't know this.
He's the sassiest man alive. It's so snark.
Yeah.
So snarky.
I think everybody thinks I'm super quiet. And then when I say something snarky or whatever, it just surprises them.
Your award that you mentioned earlier was correct. He is the nicest man. Like, truly, if people are like, what is he like? I'm like, he, like, genuinely, even being married to him, being with him for so long, he is so nice. Like, at his core, he's a very nice, kind human. But he's not a huge talker. And so people just think, like, that's all he is just nice. And this guy's got some snarky takes or sassy opinions. And
that's
if
good.
You're close enough, you
sarcasm
get to
is
see
my
it.
Love language.
Oh, yeah.
So,
but
so from 9 to 5, you don't get that from him.
Right.
Yeah.
So it's what's even more amazing is that he can turn that off and on.
Sure.
Because I would have way too many times during the day where I would want to make a snarky comment.
Yeah.
I do. Just because I enjoy it. You have to be careful with sarcasm and snark because there's a fine line between funny and insulting.
Yeah, right.
I mean, it's
fine line.
And in our marriage, Steph and I are both sarcastic.
Nice.
I think it was the other day, our kids, because we're sarcastic, our kids are sarcastic.
Mm-hmm.
And it just got just mean. Like, just all of a sudden it was fun. And then it was all of a sudden it was like,
too far.
Yeah, too far. And then it was like, we got to cut this out. And I don't know how to. I don't know how to.
Sense of humor is what it is.
Turns into a roast.
Yeah.
It does. But it's probably not good for the psychology of my 8-year-old. But he's one of the best ones at it.
Yeah.
He's awesome at it.
That's funny.
We had the mediation certification course this morning. That's why I'm wearing this work coat, a little more fancy this fine Thursday. And you were there. I opened it up, and you know, I'm not necessarily an extrovert. I'm more of an introvert. So whenever I'm talking or whatever, I have to turn it on.
Mm-hmm.
But do y'all find like that's a natural state for y'all? Was that what being on camera? Because you feel natural.
We are both introverts. I am very, very much an introvert. I'm totally fine with being social and nice and like
so what's
to
driving you to
get
do
to
that?
Know people.
That's not introvert behavior.
I see. Okay. Mm-hmm. I've also always done music, like I mentioned earlier, and being on stage, being on camera has never been an issue. People think that's like a really extrovert thing to do. That's the least personal thing you can do is talk to a machine or be on stage away from thousands of people.
But you're putting yourself out there for people
but
to
I don't
see.
Have to talk to you one-on-one.
Yeah. Still, the maybe it's privacy more than it is being an extrovert, because I'm just a very private person.
Yeah.
But also, I'm not always comfortable. I don't do a lot on Instagram. I feel like I need to do more, but it's just not my personality to open up the app and be like, yo, what's up, guys? Just hanging out today. Wanted to talk to you for a minute. Maybe that's just because I'm wired differently in how I want to communicate. But being on camera, I'm much more comfortable being behind the scenes than in front of people, just naturally.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Doing the pod show, doing this sorts of things. I like it. I enjoy it. I want to do it. But I'm also, this is not my comfort zone.
Yeah.
So I want to get outside my comfort zone. That's why I'm doing it. So I just wanted to know if this was outside your comfort zone, something that you were born to do or something that you've kind of grown to love.
Yeah. It was really one of those things that we just have everything but being on camera.
Mm-hmm.
Like I edit, she plans. She does travel and tourism marketing. So it's like we had everything to make a travel vlog. We watched them all the time. So it's like we had everything but being on camera.
Yeah.
So it's like if that's the only thing we have to learn and that's the only thing we have to try to push ourselves to be, that's what we're going to do, like to do this. And that's why we kind of started doing it.
And it's a bit of curation as well. Same thing with like what social always is you want to present XYZ. So that's what I'm going to show you. I'm not going to show you Andrew sleeping with his mouth open on the plane because that's what he does. Like if, you know, we're jet lagged and a little like, you know, too snarky with each other or something like that. So that's not quite what you show all the time. But to practice being able to be on camera and be on and be present in that moment is also good to not like think ahead about what everything else can do.
Mm-hmm.
So it like forcibly brings you back into the moment, which is kind of cool.
Yeah.
But it's not, I wouldn't say it's a natural thing, but it's definitely a practice thing. But what keeps me going is being able to help other people know they can pull this off too.
Yeah.
And to be able to share like, this is more approachable than you think.
Yeah.
And so if I can make myself more approachable than I think I can, then I can show other people that travel's more approachable than they think.
There's a lot of fear in travel.
Yeah.
Like there's just a lot of people that just don't think they can travel. Because they don't speak English, or they don't use the same money, or they like, mm-hmm. there's so many things like that, that people are fearful of, like just not having communication, not having whatever, but there's so many tools now to make travel easier. I mean, you can use Google Translate. You can, Google Lens will actually take a picture of a menu and translate it into English just show you exactly what it is. You can go to your bank accounts online. You can go everything. There's not as much to worry about. Like we use WAG for our dogs while we're away. Trusted house sitters too. And it's just, we can monitor our pets from Paris, and that's where technology is taking it to
be
much easier. And I mean, we have random people come stay at our house while we're gone to watch our.
They've been background checked.
Yes,
but
that's what trusted house is.
Yeah. You go to the Harry Hines and just pull a few random people off the street.
Yeah, yeah.
Make a sign, watch
like
my dog.
Kind of. I'm a little in. Like, I get a little insecure about it, but it's like they have good reviews. I mean, we make sure that like their application process is great, and they just, you know, most of the time they're retired and they just take care of the dog and while we're like tripping for the weekend. So
that's
super fun.
That's probably outside of my comfort zone too, but I do think y'all are inspiring a lot of people. I'm so proud of the channel y'all have put together. I'm so excited to see it. I was excited to talk to y'all today about it because I feel like it is a it's going to inspire people to travel, but it's also going to inspire people to do kind of what you're doing, which is start to get out there and start talking about their travels and putting stuff out there. The YouTube space is endless. I mean, you can find your own tribe. You can build your own little community on YouTube, and it's so big and so expansive that you really, anyone can do it.
Yeah.
But I think y'all are doing it the right way, and y'all's message is good, and y'all do a good job jumping and dancing and explaining things very well. I just give you all sorts of kudos. Thanks for being on the show today. I know this was a little bit of a last minute thing that we rescheduled because I was this is only our fifth show.
Yeah.
Maggie, this is our fifth show.
Yep.
So this is
nice.
Yeah.
We're working on the kinks. I feel like this is one of our best ones yet.
Yeah. Yeah. Thanks.
It's been fun. Thanks for having us.
Yeah.
It's good chat.
We enjoyed it.
Good talk with you.
Yeah. Really do encourage everyone out there listening, everyone watching, to subscribe to the channel. You'll love the content. And of course, subscribe to all of our EXO marriage stuff too, because Andrew's fingerprints all over that as well.
Yep. We'll see that one grow. That's all of them. That's super fun.
Thanks to our non-sponsors, Topo Chico and Essential Water.
Yeah, right.
We'll see you next time.